Well, welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 3, and we have been reading about the Moraites. And we're going to pick up in verse 36 and see what their jobs were. And under the custody and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and all the vessels thereof, and all that serveth thereto, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords.
So here again, we're talking about job description. And if you think about the magnitude of transporting this tabernacle, setting up, taking down, and the framework, you're talking about some huge boards, 15 feet high, 27 inches wide, thick, and then this is all the way around the tabernacle, and then the tabernacle itself had the framework and the columns, and then the wood didn't just sit on the ground, it had the bases that it set in, it had the caps on the top of it. Actually, it was probably awesome to look at. And so you're talking about a lot of weight,
yeah.
And then the cords to hold everything in place. And so this was the responsibility of the Moraites. The way we said, I think in your study guides, they're responsible for the framework, where the Gershonites responsible for the hangings, and the Kohathites are responsible for carrying or transporting the sacred things. And then Eliezer is responsible for overseeing the taking down and covering the holy things so the Kohathites can carry them. And then you'll find here later on, I guess, Ithamar is over the Gershonites and Merarites as far as setting the tabernacle up.
Good.
Very specific.
Mm-hmm.
But very needful to where no one's overstepping the other's boundary, but everyone's operating in his sphere of expertise, if you will.
Here's a test question, I'm sure you can guess. Are you ready for it? Who was responsible for the setup, breakdown, and transportation of the framework that pertained to the tabernacle? The Moraites. Very good. All right, verse 38. But those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death.
You got that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And so on the east side, where the opening of the tabernacle was, the leadership is in place. They have the responsibility of guarding what goes in and out of that tabernacle. And so here you have the leader of the nation, who is Moses, and his family there on the east side. Then you have Aaron and his sons, the priests, that are there on the east side. And so you have the tabernacle completely surrounded by the tribe of Levi.
That's great.
It's the responsibility of the leadership to guard what goes in. And I don't think people have a clue of what's involved there. The responsibility and the accountability of allowing what God allows and disallowing what God disallows. You want to keep the entrance open for the Spirit of the Lord to do what He wants to. But you want to keep the door closed to where other spirits can't be just taking over a service. And people throw caution to the wind in this. They either close the door to everything or they open the door to everything. And the bottom line is you want each service, you want that service inspired by God, But that the inspiration of God covers a lot of territory. It's not the same old necessarily. God can inspire in preaching. God can inspire in teaching. God can inspire through the manifestation of gifts and this type thing. But it's the oversight's responsibility to be the conductor of the orchestra, if you will, to where everything is done decorously, everything is done in order, to where when the service is ended, God is pleased. It's not about the people, it's about God. And I don't think people understand this about church. They think it's about the people. No, it's about God. What does God want? And God will do what's in your best interest. You won't. You'll do what you like. God will do what you need. Mm-hmm. And we have to learn that.
Good. Verse.
So, Moses and Aaron's on the east side. So we got all sides covered. We've already talked about specific job descriptions for each of the three families of Levites, the coverings, the Gershonites, the structure, the framework is the Merarites, and then the holy things, the sacred things to be carried is the Kohathites, and then Aaron and his sons served as the priests of the Lord, and so they were responsible for taking care of these holy things and to keep anyone from being killed. You understand? The Kohathites were not allowed to look on the holy things. And if they didn't go in and do what they're supposed to do, then it could cost the Kohathites their life. So job descriptions eliminate potential problems. When people learn to function in their God-given call, then the church will operate more efficiently. This is the way corporate world operates. It operates with job description. You need to know your job description. When I worked in secular work, we had a manual, we had a job description. As a matter of fact, if I hired you, you signed that page in that book saying you had read that book and that you agreed with that book. Then if you were asked to do something in your job description you didn't want to do, you can say, listen, you agreed to it. And so it's not an option. Your option is do it or find another job. You with me? And so the job descriptions are important. And here again, it's not that we're placing one family over another family. They just had different responsibilities. The holy things had to have a place to house them. You understand? Mm-hmm. So the Gershonites and Merarites were extremely important people. And the Kohathites as far as carrying these vessels. In a local church, and I can't overemphasize this, the gifts in a local church and all are extremely important. They're valuable. But they can be an asset or a liability. If they operate out of order, they're a liability to you. You know, the music is to be an asset to the service. It's not to be the main theme of the service. And, you know, you can talk about any position or any, you know, the activities of a church. If it's not enhancing the ministry of the church, then it's a liability to the church. If the churches tend to departmentalize. I remember years ago, they had what they called Wednesday night family night. Okay, family night. Get that? Family night. And so the men went this way, the women went that way, the youth went that way, and the children went that way. Well, that sounds like division of family to me. You understand? And then what you would have is this department vying with this department, which is the most important department. And I'm going to tell you, that stuff won't fly with me. The church is one body. It works together. It's not that this one is going to be independent of this. Let me tell you what something operating independent of the organization is. It's called cancer. And you know what cancer will do? It will destroy you. And so cancer has to be eradicated. You get the division out of the camp to where everybody's working together in a harmony, in an agreement, doing God's work, God's way. That's called theocracy. God governing.
That's good. Verse 39. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered, at the commandment of the Lord throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward, were 22,000.
Now that's important because God said he was going to take the Levites as the firstborn instead of selecting the firstborn from every family of Israel, okay? And the next verse will give some insight into this.
And the Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names.
So now it's all the tribes of Israel that he's to take the census of the firstborn males, okay? Now, there's a reason for this.
In verse 41.
Keep reading.
And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel.
All right, so the firstborn's God's, firstborn male, whether it's animal, whether it's people. Now, in this case, he's talking about the firstborn people. How many of the firstborn from a month old upward of the Levites was 22,000, right? So, or pardon me, not firstborn, but of the tribe of Levi. But when you get to the firstborn in the nation, now you find that there's 22,273. So you have 273 more firstborn in Israel than you have Levites. And so now they're going to have to be redeemed, the 273, okay?
Let me catch up to you. Verse 44. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle. And the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons.
And so the Lord told Moses, he says he's taking the Levites for all the firstborn of the descendants of Israel. And then the livestock of the Levites instead of the livestock of Israel. But now you understand that Israel had the responsibility, all the tribes of Israel had their own responsibility of bringing the tithe to the Lord. They had the responsibility of bringing the first of their flocks or sacrifices to the Lord. This is what's supplying the Levites with the animals, that has to be sacrificed to the Lord. Now, the 273 had to be redeemed with money, and the money, in other words, these 273 over, it's like 2 ounces of silver, somewhat that equivalent anyway, had to be given to Aaron and his sons as the redemption money. Okay? And so with this, Levi is the Lord's. Remember what God said, told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take your firstborn. This is mine. I'm taking yours. If you don't let them go, then yours will be destroyed. And so he said, now the firstborn of Israel is mine, but I'm going to take Levi, the tribe of Levi, as a substitute for the firstborn. But when you have more firstborn of the nation than you have of the tribe, then there has to be a redemption for that surplus. And that's what the 273 having to give this amount of money was all about, given to the priest, to Aaron and his sons.
Verse 49, and Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses.
So Moses is obeying God. He's not arguing with him. He does exactly what he's told to do, and he collects 1,365 shekels of silver from the Israelites, and then he gives that to Aaron and to his sons. Okay? This is a thing that's so impressive when you look at God's communication with Moses and how Moses responds. The way God is saying, God says, all right, do this, and Moses does that. There's only one exception, and it cost Moses from going into the promised land when he didn't speak to the rock, but he smote the rock, and the purpose for that is he marred a type because that rock was pointing to Jesus. Jesus was to be smitten one time, not two times. Okay? And so, God said it, Moses did it. I believe that that's how every local church should operate. God speaks to the oversight, and then the oversight's to do what God said. And then the people are to obey what God said. And if you follow that pattern, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong doing right. And I can tell you, God is always right. And so that's why it's so important that we not have mob rule and this opinion, that opinion, but that we seek the counsel of God, find out what God wants, and let's do His will, His way. That's the important thing.
Chapter 4. This chapter reveals the numbering of the Levite families and the duties of each family of Levi. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation.
Okay, so here we're continuing with this description, but we're getting a little more detail in this. And so Moses, the Lord tells Moses and Aaron to take a census of the Kohathite family, and the census was to calculate the number of those, note this, from 30 years of age to 50 years of age. This is their strength, their strong years. They mature and they're strong. Now, why is that so important? Because we mentioned the moving of the camp, the taking the curtains down, the taking the structure down, the carrying the holy things. I mean, can you imagine the weight of this stuff and the labor that's involved in doing all this? Number one, you don't want some kid out there doing the job. You want a mature adult doing it so it's done the proper way. and you want someone strong enough to do it. And so that's why after 50 years of age, they're sort of passing their prime of life, if you will, the 20 to 50 being their prime of life, their strongest years, they're mature in that area. These are the ones responsible for carrying out these duties. That's why he says 20 to 50, okay?
You mean 30 to 50.
Excuse me?
You mean 30 to 50.
30 to 50. What did I say, 20?
Mm-hmm.
Keep me straight. 20 years.
Mm-hmm. 20 years, that's right.
20 years of service.
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Very good. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put it in the staves thereof.
So Aaron and his sons are responsible for taking down the veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place, and they were to cover the Ark of the Testimony with that veil. Then they were to cover the veil with what, the best I can tell, would be antelope. What does the King James say?
Badger skin.
Badger.
Mm-hmm.
I think from what research I've done on it, I think antelope hides would be the more correct translation there. And then there's a blue cloth put over that. This is for protection, you understand. And then once that's done, then they're to insert the poles into that Ark of the Covenant for the Kohathites to carry, or for the priest to carry, yeah.
Verse 7. And upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger's skin, and shall put in the staves thereof.
Here again, note the description, note the protocol. This is the way it's to be done. Aaron and his sons spread a blue cloth over the table of showbread, place the bowls, the utensils, and pans, and the showbread on it. They were to cover the items on the table with a scarlet cloth. They were to cover the scarlet cloth with antelope hides, then insert the poles into the rings on the table so it could be transported by the Kohathites. You get the picture? God has he has an order. Now, I don't know all the detail of this, but there's probably a significance in the blue and the scarlet, and I'm reasonably sure all that points to Jesus, okay? But I can't teach you what I don't know.
And they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light and his lamps and his tongs and his snuff dishes and all the oil vessels thereof wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger skin and shall put it upon a bar.
Notice he's taking this an item at a time here. Mm-hmm. So the golden candelabra and all that pertain to it was to be put in a blue cloth, and then that cloth was to be covered with antelope hides, and the candelabra and all the things pertaining to it was carried on a pole. They couldn't just pick it up and carry it. It was carried, transported on a pole.
And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue and cover it with a covering of the badger's skin and shall put to the staves thereof.
So thou the altar of incense. And so Aaron and his sons took all the utensils used in the service of the sanctuary, put them in a blue cloth, And then afterwards they covered them with antelope pies and put them on a pole for transport. I suspect the eye hides are waterproof to where this other doesn't get saturated, okay? But note that everything's carried by poles. Now you notice that Aaron and his sons are the only ones that are seeing these items. By the time they're ready for the Kohathites, they're already covered. All of their sins posed. Okay?
Verse 12. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary and put them in a cloth of blue and cover them with a covering of badger skins and shall put them on a bar.
So after they get this altar of incense prepared for travel, Aaron and his sons were to remove the ashes from the brazen altar and then spread a purple cloth over it, and all the utensils used in ministry were to be placed in that purple cloth, the pans, forks, shovels, bowls, and all the items pertaining to this altar. Then they were to spread a covering of antelope hides over the altar and insert the poles into the ring so that it could be transported. And so it's not visible to the common people, so to speak, when it's been transported.
Verse 15. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation.
Notice the Kohathites didn't go in until Aaron and his sons finished covering these sacred items of the sanctuary. Then the Kohathites were to come in and to carry these items when the Israelites begin their journey. They were not to touch any of the sacred items. They were carried on the poles provided. Anyone who violated the command and touched any of these items would die. And I mentioned earlier, that's why Uzzah died. He wasn't supposed to touch it.
Now let me tell y'all, we've got a test question here on this. And this test question is quoting part of that 15th verse. And what we want you to remember is that they could not touch. Your key word is touch. They shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. Verse 16. And to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is, in the sanctuary, and in the vessels thereof.
So Eleazar, the son of Aaron, who's a priest, obviously, was responsible for the oil that provided the light of the candelabrum, the fragrant incense that was burned on the incense altar. He's responsible for the daily grain offering and the anointing oil. And he was to oversee the tabernacle and everything in it, including its sacred furniture and all the utensils pertaining to the sanctuary. So Eleazar has that oversight. That's his responsibility. That means he's accountable for that. Okay?
We're getting ready to read about that accountability right now. Verse 17. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them, that they may live and not die. And when they approach unto the most holy things, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them, every one to his service and to his burden.
Now here he reiterates this. The Lord tells Moses and Aaron, you instruct these Kohathites regarding the sacred things they're to carry, and this is to prevent their death when they transport. They're not to come in and look at anything until everything, all these sacred items are covered. And once they're covered, then they're to come in and carry the items, note this, assigned to them by Aaron and his sons. And so they were told what they were to carry.
What really stuck out to me when we read that, when you look at that 18th verse, that the Lord told Moses and Aaron, don't you cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites. You make sure you do your job and everything's covered, because if they look on those holy things, if you haven't done your job, you're the one that's responsible for their death. That's how I take that. Verse 21. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take also the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the houses of their fathers by their families, from 30 years old and upward until 50 years old, shalt thou number them, all that enter in to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This is, I think that's
so right. Here he's taken the census of the males from 30 to 50 years old that are able to perform duties. Note this, that are able to perform the duties of the service of the tabernacle. And they were numbered by families, and they were assigned specific duties regarding the tabernacle. In other words, this one's assigned to this, this one's assigned to this, this one's assigned to that. You understand there's a lot of people involved in all this, so you have to have some type of order, or it's chaotic and things get damaged and destroyed and things aren't done properly. And so they are to follow an assigned pattern, if you will, to where this is a fluid operation.
Verse 24. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites to serve and for burdens. And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of the congregation, his covering, and the covering of the badger's skins that is above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the hanging for the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and their cords, and all the instruments of their service, and all that is made for them, so shall they serve.
So the Gershonites carrying the curtains or the hanging, the courtyards and all everything that pertained to them, the cords, all this that pertained to the courtyard hanging, all the coverings of the tabernacle of meeting, the curtain at the front of the tabernacle of meeting, the curtains that surrounded the courtyard, and all the accessories that pertain to the curtains and coverings. That would be the clasp that they hang on, the rods, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Not the framework, but the things that was peculiar to the hanging of the curtains.
At the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites, in all their burdens and in their service, and ye shall appoint unto them in charge all their burdens.
So the Gershonites' duties are assigned to them by Aaron and his sons, and Ithamar, the son of Aaron, is to oversee the work of the Gershonites. Remember, Eleazar's over the Kohathites. He has two sons. Aaron has two sons left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eleazar and then Ithamar. So Ithamar is going to be responsible for the Gershonites, and we'll find the Merarites as well.
Verse 29. As for the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families by the house of their fathers. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, shalt thou number them. Everyone that entered into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Note here again, this from 20 to 50, 30 to 50, 20 years of service, Kohathites, Gershonites, Merarites, okay? And so here again, I emphasize the maturity and strength being an important part in this. And these males were numbered by families, and those who were numbered were assigned specific duties regarding the tabernacle. Now, just because a person was 30 years old, between 30 and 50, doesn't mean that they carried duties. If they were not capable of handling these duties, then they were not allowed to do this. Those who were able to do it.
That's good. Verse 31. And this is the charge of their burden, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments, and with all their service. By name ye shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden.
So the Merarites are responsible for the framework. Mm-hmm. And he spells out what that is. It's all the boards of the tabernacle, the columns, the bases, the pegs, the columns around the courtyard, the bases, the sockets they set in, the pegs, the cords, the accessory. All that is the responsibility of the Merarites. Okay? Job description. You see that?
Yeah.
Job description. Our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here. We'll pick back up with all this in our next session.
Okay.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you, flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great weekend.